Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This episode was recorded live as a panel discussion at the Men's Study. On the panel is FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon, former Special Operator Ian Hunter, and orthopedic surgeon Sean Mansour, moderated by Chris Clark. Danny, Ian, and Sean share what it's like to embrace the frontier as they open up about their own faith journeys. God bless, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right, Chris, turn over to you, bro.
All right, fellas. Well, as we get started here, Pratik is going to flash a number up on the screen here. If you want to text in a question that you'd like the panel to speak to tonight, you go ahead and text it in. We're pretty low tech here. This is going to come to my cellular device up here. And so here's what I would ask you. If you're interested in sending a question, we want to focus our conversation tonight on embracing our frontier. So we're going to talk about, revisit some of the themes and topics that we've talked through so far in the study. If you have a particular question about something that Danny or Pratik has already talked on, then we'll fit in. Now, if everyone submits a question, probably we'll get to all of them, but we're going to try to fit in a few of your questions along the way.
I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of worried about these two.
Dude, immediately pulled out their phones.
The look on their face.
I have no idea
who knows what kind of question we're going to get. Yeah.
So, first, let's start here. Let's go back to Shop Talk. Ian, I loved hearing all of your stories, but I kind of felt like you left me hanging a little bit. Where there's this moment you're talking about, you're hanging out the side of a helicopter, and there's jet fuel in your face, and you're like, God was doing something. Okay, what next? What happened? Tell us the rest of the story, man.
I think it's a great question, because I think I could misrepresent what the Lord did in my life so impactful by just, here I am. Now I'm giving a story in front of a group of men. And I care about ministry, and we're involved in different ministries. And I just want to start with that. That was over a decade ago. We're almost at a decade ago that happened, by the way. And so I've been underneath the covering and teaching of quite a few different mentors and pastors for a long time. I think the first thing that happened was, I became overwhelmed with guilt and a burden of, I have to fix this. I felt like I had to do something to fix this just turmoil that I've created, this lie that I've been to my family, to my wife. And I'm going to cherish my wife's story and not share too much here with you guys, but I was not being the man that I should have been to my wife. Now I have this epiphany of like, this has to happen. What am I going to do when I go home? You know, in the helicopter, and while I'm on target, it was, I'm just going to go home and tell her everything. It's just the way it works. Like, this is going to be great. And she's going to love it. She's going to love me even more. And that's just not what happened.
Yeah.
I actually went home and found myself pretty much just drunk on the floor at 6 a.m. for breakfast while my kids were trying to figure out what's happening. And that darkness lasted for a long time. Of walking through that. That was the very next step. It wasn't onto the stage here talking about ministry.
Ian, you come back and you're hit immediately with the reality of all the weight of all of it. What did pushing through that frontier take? Mm-hmm. What did that look like for you?
I think only in the Lord's timing can He press on my heart and my wife's heart at the same time. Mm-hmm. At the exact same time. So He knew that I wasn't strong enough to just full open kimono my life and flay my spirit to my wife. She had quite a few different experiences and thoughts and other people that come to her. And so it happened all at the same time. And I would say, hey, I wish I could say, hey, then I shared everything and everything's great and we were moving towards success and a great marriage and I was in a Bible study, but none of that is true. It actually revolved around my wife stealing my iPad. Gratefully, she just used my email at that point in my life. And she used my email to email the men's pastor at our church and sign me up through my email account to a Bible study.
I love her.
And so when God says, like, I'll make a helper suitable for you, like, that is legitimately what He means, is bringing you closer to Him. And so when I got confronted going to church one morning by the men's pastor saying, I'm so excited for you to join our Bible study, I first judged him of like, I'm not joining that stupid Bible study. And then to come find out it was Every Man a Warrior, which is like a 9-month nonstop scripture memorization.
9 months, Josh.
Everything. Right, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful. I ended up leading them after that, but yeah. So
wait, you transitioned to leading?
Oh yeah,
after that, Every Man and Warrior.
Yeah, I love it. That, I love Every Man and Warrior.
I'm really curious. Anybody wife sign them up for this study so we know who you are? Anybody else?
Don't be ashamed.
Wow.
It's okay.
There we go. All right. Hey, you got a brother right there. It's, I love it. Did you say your mom? Somebody say mom. I thought I heard mom. It was Suzanne, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it's good. Mom. Nice. It's a little. It's acceptable at that table if your mom signed you up. Any other table.
Yeah.
let's have a slightly different conversation about the roles and responsibilities of your life. Okay, so Dr. Sean.
Yes,
Dr. Sean.
You've got a different story about coming to faith as a grown man. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, in college, I went to Arizona State, number 3 party school in the nation at the time, so I'll let you kind of process that. But I got a bachelor's in zoology, which, for all intents and purposes, that's basically the study of evolution. And so my entire foundation of education was based on evolution, not as a theory, but more as a fact. And so through my journey of faith and discovering what have you, I really had to wrestle with that whole concept of, okay, hold on. There's this book called the Bible, and it's not a buffet. So it's either it's true or it's not true. And if it's true, that means it's all true. And so now I'm wrestling with the fact, okay, hold on. I've been taught this theory of evolution. I've been taught this scientific method of what is truth in my life. And in order for me to come to faith, there was a long journey of deconstruction to reconstruct what I believed. So there was a lot of wrestling with science and faith. And I mean, now I see it very differently. But at that moment, it was quite a challenge because it was everything I knew, right? And it's through some of that, deconstruction and reconstruction that I have found, it's 100% true. And that plays out in my career, in the human anatomy and physiology, on both the microscopic and the macroscopic, that there is intelligence and I design. So kind of the 3 main questions that I had to unpack was, is God real? And did he create the universe? Who's this dude Jesus? And did he die and resurrect? And what's this historical book called the Bible? Is it truth or is it not? And so as I unpack those 3 things through a lot of apologetics, is how ultimately, the fire got kindled within me. My faith came to life, and then, here I am on this panel. So that's basically how. But there was a lot of deconstruction of what I thought to be truth, and it's scary because if your identity is in that, man, that's everything. Right? And like, man, because I was on a course for science and medicine and all this kind of stuff, and there was just a polarizing concept to have this faith of the unknown, because all of medical school, all that is defining what is known. It's not the unknown. And so that's kind of where my journey started.
Yeah, it's funny that you said it's what you had always known, and having to, that was really difficult, really heavy to deconstruct so that you could reconstruct. Which I do like that framework, but we were talking last week about that, and a lot of times, we find that those who come from a no faith background, but especially those who come from an adamant against faith background, it is difficult to step forward because you feel like this is all I've ever known.
Yeah,
I mean, like I love that guy's book. I'm gonna be terrible, but the guy that went from Islam to Christianity, it's like. He lost everything when he made that, but yet gained everything, right? But what he knew, that's what made it so risky. So we find, especially with atheists, so those that don't believe, who are struggling, if they like were just really locked into their beliefs, so yours being the science and the evolution side, being your whole identity, that does have to be hard to walk away from that. Because that's all you ever knew.
Yeah, exactly. You find yourself in a season of redefinition, redefining who you are. Mm. That's tough.
So, Sean, what was a more difficult barrier to overcome? Was it the intellectual hurdle, or was it the identity hurdle that was connected to it?
Ooh. So, I don't think I was comfortable going down the identity pathway until I had the facts. Like, I had to really dissect. I needed to know the facts. So there's a guy by the name of John Warner Wallace, who is a cold case. He does cold case Christianity, forensic faith, God's crime scene. So he's a cold case detective. And so he uses scripture and all sorts of other stuff. But he uses information using logic about what makes the most sense. Like, does it make more sense that all of us are here due to randomness? Or does it make more sense that all of us are here due to intelligent design? And when you start unpacking things, again, on even the microscopic level, of like, how does DNA form and all that kind of stuff, it is unbelievable. It's worth looking that stuff on videos and stuff on Google and what have you, YouTube, because it is unbelievably powerfully designed. I mean, it's more complex than anything man has ever even come close to. And for that to happen out of randomness, I don't buy it. Mm. So.
That's good. That's good. Last week, Pratik brought us a really awesome message. And at least at our table, I don't know about any of the other tables. We got in a conversation about, man, just reading this story kind of leads to some questions about God's character, his relationship with us in this world. I mean, wiping out all of humanity in such a fashion. What role, now that you've gone through deconstruction, then reconstruction, now looking at the scriptures, do you find yourself applying that same sort of rigor of questioning to the scriptures that you now have to say, I believe in these are factual? And if so, what role does questioning play in the Christian life?
Yeah, so for me, there's no question that when I read scripture, I use scripture and even sometimes go outside of scripture to justify or validate it. So as I get deeper and deeper into my faith, there's a lot of it has become more of a given. Before, there was not much given. Like, all of it was new to me. It was all new discovery. So every step of the way, I had to kind of help define it. Like, even when you start to get into the Old Testament and the historical stuff and the kings and all that kind of stuff, I had to prove that that was truth, that it was written in the Bible. Like, Josephus and the other theologians or other philosophers of the era and Jewish historians. Like, is there supplementation that will help prove and justify that? And then there's so many things. Like, it's like, you know, even with science, there's so many theories that are kind of sold as fact, which, again, is very hard to wrestle with. When you take scripture and you take the Bible and you look at it, it's like, when does any of that stuff not pan out? When is any of that stuff not true? Mm-hmm. And I've never encountered that. That is not something that has ever happened in my walk. But in science, all the time. and it's very dynamic. It changes. Like, what we believe to be, what we believe to be truth or the best way to treatment or management of this disorder, whatever, you look 5-10 years later, it's completely different. And what we did before was heresy, right? That doesn't happen in scripture. I mean, it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which is fabulous.
That's cool. So. Fabulous.
I'm going to take some notes. Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
Great, Sean. Okay, so back to our talk about our faith journeys and embracing the frontier. Danny, you've got a completely different story. You grew up living the church life. In fact, you lived in a pastor's home.
Oh yeah, so, I was the perfect.
So you had perfect. You had it great the whole time. You've never embraced a faith frontier.
Never have I ever stepped into the frontier. No, you're looking at the frontier. Like this is So to your point. Grew up, in a pastor's home, but I think for me, it was my faith was somebody else's faith, and that's, I didn't discover that until I went to college, Texas A&M.
Whoop.
There you go. See, you love that, don't you? So, I didn't discover it till I went to A&M. You know, I was always a good kid, relatively. You know, kept my nose out of the mess. And but then when I got to college, it was like, man, nobody here knows me. I can write my own story. And now that I'm 42 years old, sometimes I wish I could rewrite that story. Like, gee, who wishes they could say that, you know? But then on the flip side, it's like, man, what I've learned and all of that. But yeah, I went through a season where some people would call it the prodigal son, which, if you don't know that story, you know, that's the son who took everything that the father had given him, and he takes his portion and he runs away and he squanders it all, and then I'm keeping it really, really fast. But then, of course, he comes home realizing the mistake that he had made. And so some people would say that that was mine. And in a way that was, I made a lot of bad choices. There was a lot of wounds that I was dealing with and trying to mask, which y'all have heard me talk about in some of the shop talks, if you've heard that before, that I was trying to work through. But really, it was a journey of what's my faith? Like, what is my faith? What is it that I believe, right? Like, my father taught me this. Do I believe that? Is this what Christianity looks like? he did a great job of leaving the foundation, which, of course, as all you dads, I tell dads all the time, like, our job is to lay the foundation, and then, it's that's what they have to grow on. It didn't mean that they're not going to go off and make some mistakes, because kids will do that, but we trust that they're going to come back to that foundation. So really, I started realizing that, in a way, then I started becoming the older brother of that story, right? There's the older brother going, what the hell, Dad? Like, you give him all the stuff, he goes and blows it, on girls and gambling, so to speak, and then he comes home, and now you throw a big party, and I've been here the whole time. And so sometimes I can feel myself in that older brother role. So really, my story has been one of a journey trying to find my identity in Christ and what is my faith. A lot of bad choices, very similar to both these guys' stories, which is what I love. I think we come at it from different angles, but there's still the mistakes and the temptations and the things that I was compensating for. Some of these guys know that I made a joke. Actually, it was funny because you said you had the A3 framework from Shop Talk, and I had said just a few weeks before that I played AAA ball, which of course, mm-hmm. I was like, you play AAA? I did not play AAA ball, but I call it, I was playing the acceptance, approval, and affirmation game. And for 15 years, that's where I lived. I needed people's acceptance. I needed their approval. and when you grew up as a fat kid, and just really being picked on and overweight and all that kind of stuff, what it transitioned into was now I have something to prove. A lot of mistakes were made that way. And realizing that, wait a second, my identity is not rooted in my looks or my appearance or what other people think of me. It's who does God say that I am? That's been a journey over the last like 10 years of me discovering that. So it wasn't a one and done. It wasn't like an aha moment. It was over time. Then you start to realize that a lot of the things that I had been carrying, the wounds that I had, how I was treated when I was younger and all that kind of stuff, that all started to heal once I realized that healing was found in him. And I started letting him shape my identity, right? And then surrounding myself with brothers that believe the same thing.
Yeah, that was something, Sean, you said it, just that identity, you just talked about your own like thinking and your personal, what do you believe? But you've already built your community, sure, with the old Sean. Like, I was just thinking about that while you were talking. And when we build our identity that way, right, and we're in that, and we're like me, I was in the military, found myself, hanging out with specific people. When I feel like I had to follow the Lord, I had to figure out I couldn't be around these people. Right. It wasn't because I didn't love them, but it was because every time I was around them, I was attracted to the things that I used to be attracted to. Whether that was, how many jumps, how many shots, how many trips, how many, deployments. My wife, their wives are bad, so my wife has to be bad, and we can talk bad about them while we're having drinks at the bar, while we're on a vacation or on a work trip. But like, I had to get rid of that, right? Yeah. That all of that had to go. And then inside of that was the place. So like, you're still at college. You're in that same place. Or you're sitting in the same classroom. We're used to like laugh at Christians. I assume you did. I don't know. Yeah. But you're back in that same classroom, right? You're in that same.
Yeah.
And those thoughts, they're like starting to, you're trying to rip one out. You're trying to uproot one. And the other one, the other one's trying to come in. Your priorities, your day still was the same, right? Like, so you're still showing up the same time. You're trying to figure out how to read scripture, but you've already had your priorities, right? You studied at this time, you met these certain people, you did these certain things. And so for me, I had to like, when you're telling the story, I steal it from Mark Batterson. He wrote a book about it, but he takes the three P's, right? If you're in the moment and season of struggling, like, so when, I may have made the claim, like, I'm gonna be a Christian, I'm gonna follow the Lord, but all those other things still existed around me, right? And so I started with the three P's. It was change your priorities, right? Change the people you're around, and the place, and your priorities. If you can change those three things, your perspective on life will change. And you leave space for God to actually move and work in you. So that's the reason why I have such a strong pull towards, I have to be around good Christian men.
Yeah.
It's not, do I like your personality first? That's not first. What's first is, do you believe Jesus? Are you following Jesus with a vengeance? Mm-hmm. And everything else doesn't matter. That's what's first for me. Second is, you know, can we spend a lot of time together? Do we have similar things that we like to do? And then you're, oddly enough, when you find a man that's following Jesus just like you, you realize that your priorities are the same.
Yeah.
And you do the same things together. So I just wanted to add that. It wasn't scripted, sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
Dude, way to get off scripted. Get off topic. This has not been scripted. He just has a couple of make sure we stay on point to get home. Otherwise, like what we were talking about earlier, like that's why Chris is here. So when we're done, y'all better stand up and give him a round of applause, because if it was just the three of us, who knows where we would land.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Yeah.
That's talent, pretty face, right? That's 100%. How the moderator game works.
100%.
But okay, so three stories of hard fought faith. I mean, we could go around the room and talk about
the
battles, right? I mean, these are all flavors of the same sort of story of what it means to be a man and to have to surrender to Christ. Dan, you said a few weeks ago a quote that I want to pull back and dig into a little bit more. And a lot of the questions that have been sent in, I think, really connect well to this. But Danny said, man was created in the wilderness and forged in the frontier. Mm. So Sean and Ian, why do you think that's true? This man created in the wilderness and forged in the frontier. Why is that true of us guys?
Man, I can tell you that from a frontier perspective, it's through those frontiers that you get molded and you get shaped into the man that God has intended you to be. Because I can tell you that just in my own life, I was in a season where I just stepped out of micro group, which is like a 2-on-1 discipleship here. And we were using a textbook, and the text, it asked a question about something that you're not willing to surrender, or you don't want to, the last thing that you would give up. And I wrote something down in there, and I didn't think about it. Well, and it was something that would impact my ability to be a father, to be a surgeon, everything that was about who I was apart from Christ, okay? And that's what I wrote down in there. Well, a year later, that happened to me. And it changed everything in a moment. And I had to make a decision. Either I rest in knowing that I have a father who loves me and that is going to guide me and lead me through this frontier, or do I rest on myself and I let it consume me and destroy me? Because it was one of the two. It was going to transform who I am, and not in a good way, or I'm going to rest in him that he's going to guide me through it. And it was through that, fast forward, it didn't impact anything in my life. It was all in here. It was all in my heart thinking that he couldn't restore me from that hurdle, from that problem in my life. And without question, he restored me and then some. So through that frontier, and I could tell you a dozen other frontiers, but that's probably one of the main ones in my life that I knew that without question, I can trust in who he is.
Would you say you're a better surgeon now?
So I can say I lead with faith when before I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So me and Ian were talking earlier about my first 10 years of my career. Someone would come up to me and say, hey, thank you so much for your treatment or whatever. And I'd say, yeah, you're welcome. Crushed it. And that was my perspective, right?
Did you really?
Well, you know, in my mind I was saying, crushed it. But the last 10, 15 years of my career, when someone says, hey, thank you for helping me, I said, don't thank me, glory goes to God.
Yeah,
amen. Yeah. And I pray for patience now ahead of time. I pray for my hands, that he would lead and guide my hands and my mind and my heart and my soul and the team that's in the OR. I mean, that is a daily prayer for me as I walk in the operating room. Mm. And it's all him.
Yeah.
It's not me. So, anyway.
Amen.
So, yeah, I think it's huge. There was, I would say, when the first frontier that I feel like I faced was, I sent an email to the men's pastor after being in the Bible study for a while, and I said, okay, so how do I really do this Christian man thing, right? And I mean, it was a straightforward question to me, like, so how do you do this?
Yeah.
And honestly, he gave me that response. He laughed. And he didn't have any, there was no follow-up.
Yeah.
There was nothing. And so I did what I only knew, and that was, well, if I did all these things, and I got to be at the pinnacle of a military career by doing these things, and the Lord loves me, and he wants me to sacrifice everything for him, then am I so bold to do all these things for the worldly things, but yet not give God the same attention and attraction in my heart to him? And so I came to this point where I was like, hey, if I'm willing to give all this, which was a lot, to make it to the point where I was, it's the least I can do in my first journey in forging and stepping into walking side by side with Christ. And so I did. I just like, I let everything else go. I started getting into the Word. And I think that was the first like real, I don't know if I would encourage people to do that and say, hey, well, if I'm successful at this, I might as well work to be a Christian. But if nobody's helping you, nobody's guiding you, it definitely, God will use a open heart that's willing to be forged and be willing to be burned and scorched and come out on the other side purified. Yeah, that's
great. Good. Okay. Follow up from Mike. Mike says, how do you kickstart yourself when the frontier seems too big to face or you don't think you have what it takes to conquer the battle?
Ooh. Too big to face. I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking how you eat an elephant one bite at a time. try to make it smaller, right? Actually, I heard at lunch today with a couple guys, we can get to that moment where we start getting convicted of our sins or the fruit of sins or things like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, like all of a sudden it seems overwhelming. Like I got to deal with this. And the two men that I was with, one of them said, hey man, one thing at a time, right? Like there's kind of something to be said for that. So, and in my journey, it has been, it's like, you know, I'm still a hot mess, right? I'm a little bit less of a hot mess.
You're a hot mess.
I just know. There you go. It's that humility.
I mean,
element,
once you're
right?
a Christian, you're still
broken. A hot mess.
Like,
I know, right?
Still,
yeah, yeah.
You just realize it.
Yeah. You just see it a lot clearly. And actually, it's I've said, like the gap or the distance between when the Spirit shows you or reveals something in you, to when you act on that, gets shorter and shorter.
That's right.
And so we still have our thing, but that's where I'm like, man, if God had dealt with me with all of the stuff at one time, I would be non-existent. I couldn't take that, right? It's like he works us out. So welcome to the journey of sanctification. So Mike, I would say the frontier is a big frontier, but I think as these two guys were talking about it, I keep hearing there's nothing apart from him. It's just him. It all points back to him, right? So it's like stepping forward in faith. The first step, as you said, get in scripture. Try not to see the big picture, but zoom in to that, like just him, right? Just Jesus. Like that's really all it is. Because yeah, there's nothing we can do on our own, and there's you can't fix things on your own. It really all points back to him. To walking us through that frontier, but I can appreciate that it can feel daunting, and I quite frankly, I wanted to share this earlier anyways, as I was processing Genesis 15, as we were getting ready for, you know, Abraham next week, I was thinking, I was like, man, all these guys are, you know, even the guys in the covenant, it's like, really, they're just boneheads, it's like, but I was thinking, I'm like, what is consistent? Like, how can I connect with these? Because guys, I'll be honest, like I have a moment where the frontier for me is kind of like, where are we going as a ministry? Like what's next? Like, and right now I'm in kind of a season where it's like, it feels like a heavy burden. Like what's the new thing? What are we going to add? What, you know, I got, you know, guys are like, hey, this is exciting. What's next? What's next? What's next? Well, you feel like all of a sudden you're a clown juggling balls and just trying to keep it all up. And I'm realizing, man, I got to start letting things go, and I got to start bringing guys in to help me and all that kind of stuff. But I was feeling this weight, and I'm like, Lord, I want to get into a rhythm and a pattern. Didn't mean I want to have it all figured out. But as I was going through this, I was thinking, like, man, even Abraham didn't get it right. Noah didn't get it right, as you guys heard last week. Moses didn't get it right. So why is it that they still have the favor of God? Like, why is his favor still present? Right? Does it mean that he's judging their boneheaded decisions? Because let's be honest, every one of them, all of us included, we have boneheaded mm-hmm. decisions. And I thought about Psalm 139, where at the end it says, "Know my heart, O Lord." I think that's the difference. It's like, we're gonna screw up, right? Like, our stepping into the frontier is not about reaching perfection. And I think this may speak to Mike's thing. Like, stepping into this doesn't mean perfection. Sanctification, the process of sanctification, is not perfection. It's a journey, right? It's that whole journey that you go through, which is a beautiful journey. And he's working a piece out. But all along, I'm just going, Lord, know my heart and seek out anything that is not of you, that's not righteousness, and flush it out. Reveal it to me and remove it. Knowing that I'm still going to make boneheaded choices, right? I'm sure I've offended, you know, guys in this room. I've missed text, or I haven't replied, or like we don't get everything perfect all the time. But that's not my heart, right? I'm going, Lord, just know my heart. Know my heart. And so if we keep moving forward, that's the thing. Just keep journeying forward. Don't think it's, man, I got to have all this worked out before I stepped into it. That's not it at all.
I think there's, on top of that, I want to add that for me, there was a point where I took, you know, Paul talks about, like, hey, you're like babies. Like, you're just, you can't even eat real meat, right? You can't even eat real food. And like, that's the reality of where some of us are, like right now. It's like, it's not about, you know, what do we know about, I have little kids, right? I have four kids, one's the oldest 17, youngest is 7. I'm teaching the 7-year-old, hey, like, don't steal. Like, you got to share your stuff.
Don't steal.
Like, maybe that's where you're at in your journey. Like, you're at the big blocks. Like, just don't drink tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's, you need a kickstart? Hey, if you have a drinking problem, don't drink tonight. There's your kickstart.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't,
tell somebody
it
about
doesn't
it
need to be memorize all of 2 Timothy. It doesn't need to be the best voice at your table at this men's group. It could be as simple as, don't open up that porn site when you go home. That's infants, right? We're infants in some of our ways, and when we're learning to walk with Christ, like, start there. And then as you move through and you start to mature, you're like, man, I can't believe that I was doing some of that stupid stuff. And now you're moving beyond the infant that was lying and not sharing their toys and, hey, don't lick the bottom of your shoe, right? Like, now we've moved past that, which is good. We got those big blocks out of the way. Now we're getting into where we're memorizing scripture. Yeah. We're getting into like things like 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All scripture. All scripture is God breathed, useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so every man is prepared for good work, right?
Yeah.
That's probably from 5 different versions, but it all works.
The different translations, yeah.
All different translations, but it all works.
It got to the point. That's good.
And then you want to memorize that because, like, it's not your natural behavior to believe that. Mm. Like, okay, it sounds good, Ian, but, like, I don't really believe it. Okay, well, then read it again. And then read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again, and memorize it. And then, now that you've gotten from big blocks, medium blocks, now you're just moving the small little blocks, which is accept it. Down to your deepest core, that every word in that Bible is useful for training you, for teaching you. So then now when you have these other catastrophic things that happen, the flash to bang goes from 3 weeks of trying to figure out why you're mad at your wife, that it's like in 5 seconds because you refuse to have dissonance between you and your Lord. Mm. You recognize that alignment is off, and you would rather be in alignment than anything else. I don't know if that was helpful.
That's great. I mean, the scripture is so, so important. Question from the audience here. When you're in that place where you need that kickstarter, you're in a dark season, a dark place in your life, and you want to be pursuing the Lord, have you ever had difficulty just opening up the scriptures, getting involved with the things of God, reading the word? Like, has there ever been a time where you're like, I know that I should, but I don't know that I want to do this. It doesn't excite me. There's not energy there.
I was just sorry, I know we're all fighting who's going to answer this.
Go ahead.
But it was funny because while he's talking, I'm like, man, I wonder if any guys are sitting here going, is it always like sunshines and rainbows and I'm just always in love and it's just feeling so good all the time and I'm, you know, radiating joy and happiness and like, no, you're not. And I actually am going to quote the much larger voice than my own, Billy Graham, which I will say, put a pin just in that real quick. I love how God works because I was in a moment per, I think what the question was kind of steering towards is like when you're just not feeling it, like when it's, it seems hard to kind of put one foot in front of the other and it's like, man, I got to force myself. So first off, I will say that's what we call them spiritual disciplines, right? That's one of them. It's a discipline, right? Do I feel like going and running? I'm not going to say how many miles because I don't want him to make fun of me because I'm talking about it, but or how many races I've done. But, you know, it's like, do I want to do that every morning? Of course not. But then when I don't do it, man, I'm feeling it, right? It's a discipline, right? So, but one morning, I was feeling the same way, and I was just kind of in a rough spot. So, like, I'm bringing you guys in on this as well to say, like, I don't wake up every morning just going, hallelujah, you know, I'm just feeling it, and I'm, you know, it's sometimes you have those days where, like, God, where are you? Where are you? Like, I'm not feeling those moments. And actually, then the temptation is we want to recreate the spiritual moment. So it's almost as if, like, I don't want to move forward. I want to go backwards and cause the same sin that got me in this mess in the first place so that I can feel good when God rescues me.
I want to be in control.
Yeah.
I want to control the spirit to get here.
Yeah, come on. Like, yeah. Feel
I
me,
want to
Lord.
Manufacture
I want to feel it.
Yeah.
And so, but I will say, again, the journey, the discipline, you start to recognize, wow, God just moved. God moved. Like you're, the more that you are in these disciplines, the more, like you were talking about, it's now a given, right? But it's almost like you have spiritual eyes to see things. Like this journey we went on with the men, we had a pivot. And then all of a sudden we went, wow, that was actually God moving us here.
Yeah.
We thought it was under our own power. Point is, where I'm going with this is to say that when I was feeling this kind of heaviness, I was, you know, just scrolling through my phone and you know, not feeling it. And literally the first I was, I think I'd just opened Instagram and, literally the first story on the feed was somebody had liked that I follow, whatever, this Billy Graham video. And I'm literally praying about it that morning. I was like, Lord, where are you? I'm not feeling you right now. And then this Billy Graham video is the first thing I see. And it was him on stage, probably talking to the tens of thousands. And he's talking about how some mornings I wake up and I'm just filled with a hallelujah. And I'm just, you know, he's got that Billy Graham voice. And I'm just reaching out and I could almost touch him. And then there's days and weeks where I just don't feel him. And there's like that pause. And you're like, man, that's where I'm at. And he goes, and then it was my mother who I called up and I'm in college. And I said, Mama, this is how I'm feeling. And it was his mother that said, well, Billy, you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That means he is your Lord and Savior. And in these moments is when he is actually the closest to you because you are moving by faith, not by how you feel. And I'm like, man.
That's good.
Yeah, and that's faith, right? It's like it's not a feeling all the time. We confuse it. It's why some of our marriages struggle. I just want to feel love. Sometimes you just got to keep... You keep moving. That's the faith. You keep going. And that's when actually God is the closest. So you have your spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, studying scripture, all these things. So when you need to feel it and you're in a dark space, God shows up. And in that moment, he showed up for me.
And God's so good that the discipline is often rewarded when it gets turned into delight in the end. Yeah.
I think I'll be super quick. I think the one thing I would add is like, when I feel disconnected, I start with, all right, what do I need to repent from?
Yeah.
What do I need to repent from?
I'm laughing,
from?
But it's true.
I've done something.
I've done something. We've always done something.
I need
something.
To repent.
I mean.
And I need to narrow that down to what do I need to repent and who do I need to ask for forgiveness from? Mm. I start there, and I start surrendering my attitude, my heart, my posture. And the next, I think it's either Dietrich Bonhoeffer or C.S. Lewis, probably Dietrich. He says... Satan tries to do three things. He tries to create fear. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna screw it up. He wants to create fear. uncertainty and doubt, right? Yep. Those are the three ways that Satan communicates in your life: fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You can go all the way back to Genesis, right? Yep. And you can find all three of those. Well, what he talks about to combat that is faith, obedience, and then I added dependence. Mm. So he talks about when you're in faith, live in faith. Be bold in your faith and live in it. That's when you feel it. That's when you're in alignment. When you don't feel like it, just be stinking obedient. Just get your map and compass out. Get your Bible out, right? Get those podcasts of scripture going and start reading scripture. Get your map and compass out. Stop trying to manufacture it. Just find the Lord. Repent and find the Lord. So when you don't feel it, go to faith and then go to obedience. And then when you realize that your obedience wanes and you don't have the strength, great. Be dependent on the Holy Spirit to carry you the rest of the way, because that's what he's there for. That's played true and true for me over and over again.
Man, that's good. Sean, we've been talking about a lot about the frontier ahead of us, what the challenge might look like. We've got a question from the crowd that's about the frontier of the past. Things like, I can't forgive myself for my past, and that keeps me from feeling the worthiness I see in the men that I respect. Can't turn myself completely over because I feel like I don't deserve it.
Ooh, yeah.
Can you talk about, from your experience, what does it look like to overcome the frontier of my own past?
Yeah,
I can tell you there's definitely been some low moments in my life that I have probably spent decades being challenged with, of kind of dragging me down. I can tell you probably what really helped me the most, what kind of guided me the most, was number one, taking ownership in that moment, in those moments. And then, as you brought up earlier, seeking repentance from those moments, and then trying to get some level of redemption and forgiveness, whether it's forgiving them, forgiving yourself, or what have you. So I can tell you a story. So I was married for 5 years and got divorced. And then marriage failed. And the reason why that marriage failed was because of infidelity, okay? Both on her end and my end. And that created, and the good thing is we didn't have kids, we didn't have anything, we were both still in medical school, so there was no stuff, right? So there was nothing of that. It was just whatever was emotional, the heart stuff. And so for years, there was a lot of like wicked, nasty emails that I would get, and like, we had a, oddly enough, we had a blind and deaf Australian shepherd that she ended up taking that was probably the most amazing dog I've ever had in my life, by the way, just that total side note. But like, when the dog died, she blamed it on me and all this kind of stuff. So like, every moment in life, like, she kept throwing these darts at me, and it just kept eating me alive and eating me alive and eating me alive. And then finally, number one, I had to forgive myself for what I went through. And I gave it up to the Lord. I just said, God, you got to take this from me. I repent of this brokenness. I'm a broken man, and you know, I know that through you, I will be restored. And trusting and believing that, and the action step for me was writing a letter, and not an email, writing a letter and sending that. And in that, I forgave her. I took ownership in everything that I had done. I asked for forgiveness, knowing that I wasn't going to get it, and I didn't. I didn't get forgiveness for her, but at the end of the day, it wasn't about her. It was about me. I had to release, and in those moments, that's the frontier that I had to finally release, and it wasn't until then that I realized the weight that was on my heart and my soul and how it was dragging me down. Mm. So once I did, once I let that go, I was able to leave that past behind me and then move forward.
Yeah, that's good. So I could go more, but we're getting late.
Yeah.
That's good.
I love what you were saying, and this is actually something that hits really hard for me, because similarly, your story, I wasn't unfaithful in that regard, but in my heart, I was. And I've told people, I mean, especially builder buddies, like I see Jay down there. So when I started my business, I went to work out of an office with real estate agents, which everybody knows, most of the time it's women. And I was in an office with 50 women, and I was the only male. And you talk about the lion's den, right? And so the temptation was huge.
Yeah.
So I had some of that as well, the choices and things like that. But back on point about the forgiveness,
You know, God radically transformed my heart through a series of events from 14, 15, and 16. And I love it, by the way, because when I came back at Faith Bridge, even Ken Werlein was like, this is not the same Danny I remember back from 2010 and 11 and 12. I'm like, yeah, well, part of it was humility, right? If we talk about that. But anyways, the thing I struggled with the most was forgiving myself. And I'd realized that there was things I was hanging on to that I'm like bringing this baggage with me. And I one time did a shop talk example where I've got chains in my rucksack that I'm carrying. And for me, it was not letting go of the shame that I was carrying, even though God had made me a new creature in Christ and all that. And I've gone through this amazing journey and this spiritual transformation until a buddy of mine. So I'm going to challenge you guys. There's a really close friend of mine, a pastor at another church. You guys, can somebody quote the two great commandments that Christ gave us after he was challenged? What are the two great commands to first love? Just somebody say it. Okay, and then what's number two? What is it? As who? As yourself. First, love God with everything you've got. And then love your neighbor, but as yourself. So we always talk about like loving or forgiving ourselves, but we never talk about loving ourselves, right? Oh, you should forgive yourself. Well, what does that mean? Well, actually, that's part of love, right? And then you go back to say, well, what is love, right? What's the definition of love? And it takes, scripture takes us through that, right? But one of those things was, and keeps no record of wrong. And so I'm like, man, I've been the one that's been hanging on to this, yeah. Right? And I can't let it go. So this isn't biblical, but this is what I did. For me, I developed a great sense of, when I say that, meaning I'm not saying this is the advice. I don't think Matthew Bailey's here. Oh, he is back there. He's going to be like, that's not a counseling fee. I would throw that out there. I'm saying this is what I did. It worked for me because what I did is I could see my younger self. The young kid that was picked on relentlessly for my weight and all those things that I would just created these wounds, right? And then that I was compensating for. But then in adulthood, me now trying to live that out and trying to prove something or to seek that approval and all that, I realized that like how Christ sees me, I needed to see my old self, which is the grace, the compassion, the empathy of that was a lost, broken, hurting young man who was making terrible choices because he was compensating. And there was this sense of like compassion I had. So I literally in prayer, in an intense moment of prayer in like 1:30 in the morning, I could see myself. I was looking at myself, my younger self, my 25-year-old self from where it all began. And I just kept forgiving him. I'm like, I forgive you and I let you go. But it's funny because in this kind of mental game I'm playing, he would say back to me, yeah, but, yeah, but. Yeah, but I'm like, I forgive you. I release you. I forgive you. I release you. Until finally, he was forgiven. And I felt like this weight off of me, right? Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm not saying that's some counseling technique. That's what it was for me, that I was able to literally have compassion on my younger self to say, you are a broken, lost man, right? So I look at everybody in this audience. I look at every man in Faith Ridge. I look at every man in our city, and I go, you're a broken, lost man. What is that thing we're hanging on to that we can't just let go? No, but I need it. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Like, no. Love yourself. Like, just as Christ had said, love your neighbor as yourself. So, there you go.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. Rapid fire to end so we can preserve some of our table talk time. Eric S., he scripted the ending perfectly for us here. Obviously, we're all on a journey here together. One success in the frontier is not really a destination. It's just the first step on, or then maybe even just the next step on a journey. Eric says, there are a lot of men in this room. Each one of them has their own frontier. What was your most recent frontier? It's around the horn, rapid fire.
Good.
Sean's like right here, sitting on the stage.
Yeah.
Sweating.
I'm supposed to be the guy clicking the slides back there, man.
So I don't, he's the behind the scenes guy.
Oh, God. Rapid fire. The most recent frontier. So probably the most recent significant frontier in my life, and I'll try and be as concise as I can, is that, and I got her permission to talk about this, is my daughter got in a situation where somebody falsely accused her to the point where we were literally on the airport fixing to go on mission to Belize, and they took her and they arrested her because of this accusation. She ended up being in jail for 5 days. Okay, as a father, as your daughter is being taken away as a minor, you have nothing. There's nothing you can do in that moment. And in that moment, you have to let go and release it to God. I mean, there's nothing I could do. So once again, I'm left with those two choices. Either I'm destroyed and crushed, or I have faith and trust that God will see us through this. And that's what I did. Long story short, there's a big backstory. It ended up being about a boy. They got called out, and it was fine. Everything was fine. But going through that moment, I mean, it was the most humbling experience of my life, to where it was much like the injury that I talked about, it was a moment of absolute no control and no ability to gain it. Zero. Mm. So either you surrender or you're destroyed. And in those moments, I chose to surrender. And so that was my rapid story. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks, John.
I'll keep mine short because most of these guys know it, but it was going without the chemical that I'd lived with for 23 and a half years, which most of y'all heard the nicotine. So I think I'm on like day 50 something. So that was the biggest, yeah. Y'all heard that. You don't need to play it again.
Yay!
I appreciate it. Yay for Danny. No.
Go, God.
Triple A ball, man. There's that.
I was looking at
the affirmation. Thanks, guys. Yay. No, but I think that was the most recent. And I'll be forthcoming and say it's not sunshine and roses. And it's not like God radically heals you. Like literally today, I was like, man, I'm feeling the stress. I'm feeling the weight, feeling the burden. Things come up, and you're like, sure would be nice to have that kind of just chill, you know, nicotine dip, whatever you want to call it, to just chill me out. So it's still present, which means I can't let my guard down. I just can't go to the store and get it. So yeah, that's mine, which you guys have all heard that story. So,
I do need prayers over this one. We're in it right now. Mm. One of my sons has a friend that's a girl, really close, and he just found out that she's cutting herself. This was yesterday. So I just asked for prayers over that for her. Next is I want that witch to get away from my son, but that's reality. Reality.
Yeah, you had to protect
my
son
first.
Yeah.
My son first. Your home first. And then I want to go hug her and love her and care for her and just be there and tell her she's beautiful and amazing. Mm-hmm. But we're walking through that right now. So it's the frontier right in front of my face. My son is the most grace-filled, loving, Christ-following, peacemaker. He is the relational counselor for half his freshman in class. It's crazy. And this is what happens. It's going to impact him for the rest of his life. But walking through that with Christ right now in a frontier, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. Mm-hmm. How about we give Ian and Sean a round of applause for joining our panel up here. Danny elected himself to the panel, so he doesn't get a round of applause.
Would you say I elected myself?
Right, yeah. You built the panel. You put yourself on the panel. That doesn't deserve a round of applause.
And there it is, man. It started with it, and it ends with it. I love these guys. See, you surround yourself with men to keep you honest.
That's right, yeah. But Danny, to honor you, the last question of the night is just for you. Why can't Danny cut an angle with a miter saw?
It wasn't mine.
I see you back there. He's dipping, man.
Smoked
you know out. What? When it's like a 36.3 angle, that's not like a normal. Yeah, like that's yes, it's got to be done over and over. I just need to take Jay Penberthy with me next time. So
there you go.
He'll be able to do it. So I'm assuming that's it, right? Okay, let me close this out with just a simple statement. You guys jump on your tables. I'll make sure to keep it short next week because I really want you guys to have the table time. So let's take an extra 20 minutes tonight. I know we'll run over a little bit. Feel free for your tables to go as long as you feel like you need, not way over, but maybe 20, 25 minutes. But yeah, next week we're going to be back in Abraham, which of course we see his boneheaded decisions along the way, but then an epic decision that kind of locked it in for himself. So it's going to be a great week next week. I'll keep it short so we maximize our table time next week.